Well, good morning. You're tuning into the Whatcom Report with your host, Meg Weber, Technology Alliance Group and VSH Certified Public Accountants, and guest Evan Anderson, CEO of Invent IP, Jonathan Gibbs, Tech Executive and Entrepreneur, and Caleb Hebert, WW Computer Science and Entrepreneurship student, an early adopter right here in Bellingham. We thought to cover this most difficult topic of mining, cryptocurrency, asset allocations, and hedging that we bring in the best experts throughout Washington State. We will have a whirlwind session ahead for you at 8 a.m. I'm going to turn it over to Jonathan for a quick teaser about blockchain, cryptocurrency, and Bitcoin.
Hey, good morning, Meg. Asking someone what blockchain is here in 2018 and what its possibilities are is probably likened to asking someone what are the potentials of the internet 20 years ago. So any answer we give here probably be a fraction of what its true potential is. But a real quick snapshot, blockchain is basically a technology that nobody owns and controls that Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies sit on. And it's a digital ledger, which is validated by third-party people publicly and in chronologically order, which makes it really immutable. And that trust in that ledger is really what sort of opens the door to endless possibilities. And blockchain, you got to look at blockchain as sort of the library, and cryptocurrency is a very small part of that library. Probably less than 1% of that total opportunity would be like a row of books. Bitcoin inside that opportunity would maybe be four or five books, with more books being written every day. And the possibilities are really, really endless as we head into 2018 and look at sort of the worldwide application that are available to increase quality of life for many developing countries and to connect us inside of our communities locally and globally like never before.
Hi, this is Scott from Northwest Sleep Solutions in Fairhaven. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Don't be fooled by the so-called mattress sales claiming huge discounts for a limited time only. I know they sound tempting, but it's not what you're supposedly saving that counts. It's what you're actually paying that matters. And you'll pay less at Northwest Sleep Solutions in Fairhaven. So check us out before you buy. You'll be glad you did. Shop smart and sleep well.
Northwest Sleep Solutions, corner of 10th and McKenzie in Fairhaven.
Here's Mark Usvirta from Western Solar.
Western Solar has good news to share. Thanks to all of you, Washington State's solar jobs bill passed last year, making solar more affordable for homeowners and small businesses. That means solar customers have a guaranteed long-term funding package. But the best time to get these incentives is right now. You'll get the biggest return this year when you install before May 30th. Don't be misled. The federal solar income tax credit is still in place. Solar customers can still benefit from a 30% federal solar income tax credit, which allows you to recoup 30% of the total cost of your solar system through the end of 2019. Right now is the perfect time to take that next step and save the most money. Bring the power of solar into your home today. With the help from Western Solar, we'll assess your site, provide you with a detailed analysis, a personalized quote, and a custom design. And best of all, the solar panels are made right here in Bellingham.
On Home Road in Bellingham and online at WesternSolarInc.com.
They keep you in the know and on the go.
And after Hurricane Katrina, it's something that we saw a couple times.
Yeah, and Hurricane Sandy too, same type of a thing, you know, where a lot of these cars end up underwater.
The experts from Bellingham and Burlington Automotive, Panacea Automotive Repair, Dr. John's Auto Clinic, and Engler Automotive.
They get washed.
They get washed. Titles get washed.
Join them on In the Shop from 9 to 10 a.m. every Saturday right here on KGMI, News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham, and KGMI.com. Stay connected with KGMI and get the latest breaking news and talk show topics instantly. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at KGMI Radio.
Good morning. You're tuning into the Whatcom Report with your host, Meg Weber, and guest Evan Anderson, CEO of Invent IP, Jonathan Gibbs, Chief Strategist for West Coast solar company Smart Energy Today, an Inc. 500 fastest growing company, and Caleb Ebert, WW Computer Science and Entrepreneurship student. We're getting together today to unpack some of the mysteries of blockchain and cryptocurrency. I'll turn it over to you, Evan. Your work in studying and guiding policy and insights to secure and shore up intellectual property and innovation has been truly meaningful and impactful. Can you share with us an overview from your perspective of blockchain and cryptocurrency?
Yeah. Hi, Meg. Essentially, we have a couple different perspectives that are emerging in the security world and the intellectual property world. Most importantly, this entire technology opens up a whole new realm of IP protection. So essentially, blockchains allow the potential to create a registration of IP rights, and there are many, many, many use cases, and we'll get into some of those later. Some people are currently trying to use them in music to essentially attach the copyright that they would normally go through a long legal process to have to the IP itself. And so there's a lot of potential for that in blockchain. But there are many other use cases as well. And so micropayments and licensing in intellectual property could get a lot more interesting and a lot more complicated, but also a lot simpler in some ways for those that are trying to protect their IP. And all of that looks a bit rosy, I think, for folks that are trying to protect, honestly protect IP and critical IP often, that is currently easy to violate in many ways. One of the problems with this whole system in the face of nation-state actors, which is something that we look at a lot, would be that you're creating a system that may work very well in the normal intellectual property world when you're using patents, when you have a number of actors that are agreeing to play by the rules. And so one of the potential use cases for blockchain is that there's a lot of tracking capability. The fact that it's a decentralized ledger means that if you lace blockchain technology into your intellectual property protection, you can at least track when IP is being violated more easily. And so when counterfeit IP comes on the market, there's the potential to use the blockchain to check on the ledger and say, that's not a valid part of the ledger, right? That has been introduced from outside the system and therefore is a violation of someone's IP right. And I think that that's a very good thing. The key concern that we've had moving into an era in which blockchain is being used more and more by nation states, or at least worked with as a medium by nation states, is that nation states have a lot of power behind them. So we do a lot of work on the People's Republic of China. And one thing that we've been tracking is the buying up of Bitcoin capabilities by that government. So when you watch a foreign government, particularly a foreign government, and we can get into this later, but a foreign government that's struggling to essentially create an assessment of whether use of blockchain or use of cryptocurrency is going to be legal, when you watch a foreign government then proceed to buy up a huge number of the nodes in the network, that allows them more and more control. And so the general perspective is that if you buy more than 50% of the nodes in the network, you can control it because you control the interlacing pieces of the network that check and verify each other. You have a majority of those nodes. Now, China is known as a government, essentially, within their control to have about 40% of Bitcoin nodes in the network. And the problem is you can hide nodes within each other. And so we're seeing some very interesting things come out of nation state actors working in the cryptocurrency and blockchain world that could provide some challenges to what I was referring to earlier as well.
So, Evan, we think about cryptocurrency and blockchain in a way that sort of describes traditional industries of mining and hedging and can you tell us a little bit about what you think the, you know, mining system looks like if you were to explain it as in words of coal or some other?
In terms of coal, yeah. Well, mining is a useful analogy because it does allow us to kind of see a bit more what we're referring to and not make it too complicated. So in layman's terms, you're not digging in the ground when you're mining, but what you are doing is building large sets of servers and essentially computing power. And there are a few ways to do that, but if we're going to look at the simplest case and the most common one, you essentially create huge banks of servers that you're running. Some people are even running them on what's called a Raspberry Pi, which is a little tiny GPU, and they build little stacks in their home for individual miners. But when you look at a nation state or a large company that's trying to build out a mining capacity, they'll be building huge server farms. What you're doing and what is the underlying aspect of blockchain and particularly cryptocurrency is that you're running that computing power to solve essentially small mathematical puzzles. And the target of doing that is, in the case of, for instance, Bitcoin, to create a proof of the creation of a completed mathematical equation as a sign of value. Now, it doesn't have to be value in the monetary sense. It can be value in a number of ways. So for cryptocurrencies, with mining involved, then you're creating the display of value through mathematical achievement, essentially, by your computing system. But you can also use that quote-unquote work for a number of different purposes.
Awesome. So I'm here with one of our miners. Caleb, do you mind jumping in and sharing about that?
Yeah. So I recently started a mining company called Transition Labs, and we are focusing on mining anonymous currencies through such as Monero, Electronium, and it's been quite a process. I teamed up with a peer and a local business owner, Tim Rockwell, and we are trying to, you know, see what we can get out of this space and see how we can innovate the space and locally.
Excellent. Super awesome. Well, I look forward to hearing more about that after the break.
Rebound of Whatcom County connects with, empowers, and restores vulnerable kids and families in our community through education, advocacy, and mentorship. These families are trying to recover and rebuild after experiencing the devastating impact of trauma that may include abuse, neglect, domestic violence, poverty, and homelessness. Empowerment and restoration are achieved through relationships built with Rebound staff and volunteers as they walk beside families on their journey to restoration. Rebound also serves as a bridge between state agencies, schools, and community services and churches, all serving families in a non-judgmental and supportive way. Learn more about how you can make a difference in the lives of kids and families in our community by visiting reboundfamilies.org.
Brought to you by BP Cherry Point, committed to supporting the Washington communities where their employees have lived and worked since 1971. For more on how BP is giving back to local communities, go to bp.com/Washington.
When you're a mom, you see it all. From mud to mustard, felt pen to grass stains, it's a miracle if your carpets stay clean for more than a week. So when it's time to get the house ready for company, reach out to the experts. Call Swan's Clean Care and Restoration. They're the number one choice for carpet and area rug cleaning, upholstery, and more. Call today and ask for their $99 sale going on now until February. Swan's Clean Care and Restoration. Call 676-0655 or online at swanscarpetcleaning.com.
KGMI is Whatcom County's news talk station.
And what did Donald Trump do? He blew the whole thing up.
Rush Limbaugh, 9 to noon each weekday.
Forget the words used. The question was, why do you people on the Democrat side want to continue to bring people to this country that are not going to benefit this country?
On KGMI, News Talk 790,
96.5 FM in Bellingham,
and KGMI.com.
The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KGMI News Talk 790 or the Cascade Radio Group.
Well, good morning. You're tuning into the Whatcom Report with your host, Meg Weber, with the Technology Alliance Group and VSH Certified Public Accountants, and guest Evan Anderson, CEO of Invent IP, Jonathan Gibbs, Tech Executive and Entrepreneur, and Caleb Ebert, WW Computer Science and Entrepreneurship Student, and an early adopter right here in Bellingham. Caleb, I'm going to jump right into you. Can you tell us what you're most excited about for cryptocurrency and blockchain and an impact and opportunity on an individual and local level?
Yeah, so right now my company is mostly going to be focusing on cryptocurrency mining right here in Bellingham. But we would like to eventually transition into developing smart contracts for local businesses and decentralized autonomous organizations. And that kind of puts us into the realm of what is a smart contract. But so I guess put simply, a smart contract is a contract between two parties. But instead of being written on paper using legal terminology that could be interpreted several ways, a smart contract is programmed through code and executes accordingly based off of the actions of the parties involved. So the notion of a smart contract was first theorized in the mid-90s, but there was not a digital platform to support them. And recently what we're seeing with the innovations in blockchain technology is the opportunity to build smart contracts on the blockchain. And this is going to completely revolutionize how we transfer value.
Awesome. So if you're like me, this is still often a little bit perplexing. So best way to get into it really is to break it down to case illustrations and focus in on, you know, the value that you've all illuminated, which is the trust, transparency, and automation, and what that can look like for some real case examples. Jonathan, would you jump in and share with us about some of the ways that this is implicating the way that we think about property ownership and titling?
Yeah, absolutely. And so, well, the concept of a ledger may seem really boring and limited to accounting, but it's not. It's really just a way of keeping track of forms of identity, ownership, and enforcement. And in a way, like all of our governments are basically a layer of ledger. Businesses operate on a layer of ledger. Rules, agreements, and what do we do if a person or a group violates those rules and agreements? And so titling is one of them. And so looking at a local level or a statewide level, like we have title for a motor vehicle. And so I know someone who's working on a pilot program for one of our states in the United States to transfer all of their titling over to blockchain. The reason why is theft, right? If I steal a car and I want to sell it to somebody, in order for that person to drive around safely, we just have to issue them a title. And so we have to forge an agreement. And if you look at a titling agreement, it's very easy to fake or forge, right? It's a one-page agreement, and I just need the seller's information and the buyer's information. And if I can get that through a system, if I can get that through a DMV system, which is far from perfect, then I can get that person tabbed. And now that car has a new identity and a new case of ownership. What blockchain would do, as Evan and Caleb have stated, it would be a ledger connecting the ownership, and you could trace it all the way back to the factory of when the car was made, who the first buyer was, connected to the next buyer, the next buyer, next buyer. And that digital agreement would be published on a published network in a chronological order. And in order to fraudulently change one of those connections, you'd have to do the whole thing. And that's what you have to change, the whole thing. And that's what makes blockchain really stable. And although, you know, I think, you know, we want to stay away from things, so, well, it can never be cracked. That's why Bitcoin itself has never been cracked, is that every time there's a transaction inside of the block, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And anytime a new transaction occurs, today millions of nodes on the network publicly and chronologically validate that it was true. And so it's self-enforcing. And so you don't need an enforcement layer, because the contract is self-executing, self-enforcing. So that would make titling really, really easy for a state. It would make titling really easy for a country. In fact, it's why Dubai is sort of leading the world right now in targeting 2020 to move sort of all of their government contracts and titles and things like that over to blockchain because of its security. What makes blockchain really disruptive is one of its decentralized elements, where now I can take that concept of ownership and titling, and I can take it outside of its normal sort of local or even national limitations. But one of the big problems in the United States is there's tremendous amount, hundreds of millions of in cars, automotive, boats, trailers that are stolen and they're sold in places like Russia. So they're shipped over there and sold over there and given new identities. The decentralized element of blockchain enables something that used to be controlled by local, state, or federal government, and makes it very realistic to be adopted and used worldwide. So we can take simple concepts that we used to need, like local government or local businesses or a third party to enforce, and because they're basically self-enforcement, or they don't require enforcement because of their nature, it makes it very easy for other nations or other communities to adopt outside of their third party, so we can really connect the world. What makes it even more exciting is now you can connect multiple worlds. So what I mean by that, well, there's more than just the world we live in, the practical, tangible world that we live in. Okay, there's a business world, there's a gaming world, there's multiple layers of worlds on the internet. And what blockchain really lets us do is connect multiple worlds, not just multiple countries and communities. And so a great example of that would be Mark Cuban, although earlier in 2017, thought Bitcoin was a bubble, and he still might think that, but together with Ashton Kutcher, who's a very tech-savvy investor, he has his own venture capital firm and has been investing and speaking in the technology community for a long time. They launched their own token, Unicone Gold, and it allows for the transaction of of the gaming world. So I could be on a PlayStation platform with this game, and I could earn like a very valuable sword, let's say, that increases my hitting power or killing power or protection power, and I could transfer the ownership of that item to another player or username on a completely different platform, potentially. And in exchange for that, I could receive a token that has a virtual currency inside of that world, but that I could sell for real-life currency in any number of countries. And so essentially, I could play a game and find a sword that other people can't find or have a hard time finding. I could sell it for a token and exchange that for U.S. currency and buy bread or pay rent or something else. And so it allows for wild levels that have never existed before to connect multiple applications in a very simple way. You're not just multiple communities, but multiple worlds. And that's just with one item of titling or ownership.
Awesome. Well, more about that after the break.
The math on this project is so easy, we got a sixth grader to go over the numbers.
Hi, I'm Alex. And yeah, the cost for Barron Heating to install a new heat pump in an average-sized home is about $4,000. If you're spending an average of $200 a month to heat your home, your new Daikin ductless heat pump could cut your bill in half. That's $1,200 a year in savings. But check this out. In less than 4 years, your new ductless system could be paid off. Give it another 15 years of service, and you've saved almost $20,000.
Did you say $20,000?
Yeah, including interest.
So when you grow up, you want to be an investment banker?
No.
Thanks, Alex. Year-round comfort from Daikin Ductless. Year-round service from Barron Heating and Air Conditioning. Call today and ask about an additional $800 in instant rebates and incentives for qualified homeowners and payments as low as $50 per month. Call Barron.
Hi, my name is Jim, and I'm a procrastinator.
Hi, Jim.
What brings you here today?
My roof. I keep meaning to replace it, but I keep putting it off. And now winter's almost here, and I don't know what to do.
Hi, I'm Winton Smith of Western Roofing. And if you're like Jim, I'd like to invite you to call us today for a free estimate. Now's the time to get on top of your roofing problems. Get out of the Procrastinators Club and call Western Roofing today.
Western Roofing, protecting Northwest homes since 1930.
Money down and no interest for 18 months. OAC minimum purchase necessary. They will even give you 10% of your purchase back on a DeWard & Bodie gift card. This is your weekend to upgrade your appliances with unbeatable savings, next day delivery, special financing, and a DeWard & Bodie gift card. They'll match any local competitor's price on in-stock items, so you always get the best price from the biggest selection in Whatcom and Skagit counties. Now is the time to shop and save during the three-day sale at DeWard & Bodie in Bellingham on Meridian Street, the outlet on Hannigan Road, and in Burlington, a half block north of Costco.
KGMI News Update.
KGMI News Time, 11:31, 46 degrees now in Bellingham. Elderly Holocaust survivors are gathering at the former Auschwitz death camp on the 73rd anniversary of its liberation. As the world marked International Holocaust Remembrance Day today, political leaders said the Nazi genocide must always serve as a warning. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson attended a ceremony at a memorial in Poland for the Jews who died in the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising of 1943 there. The latest numbers from the CDC show the flu epidemic is growing with no signs of slowing down. ABC's Marcy Gonzalez has more from Los Angeles.
Across the country, hospitals so far have treated about 12,000 people, and the CDC says this flu season is still not at its peak. The death toll from the flu epidemic keeps going up. Catherine Acton was a healthy, active mother of two, a bride-to-be. She died suddenly this week in Alabama after coming down with influenza. And recently in Tennessee, a 33-year-old father named Craig Childress also died from complications from the flu.
As of January 20th, the Washington State Department of Health has reported 109 flu deaths in our state so far this flu season. That includes three in Whatcom County, one in Skagit County, and two in Island County. Dating for your kids has always been awkward, but now this, there's a new no-no in dating. That's asking for a last name. In an age of smartphone dating apps like Tinder, popping the question has now become, what's your last name? 26-year-old Denny Dowdy of Kansas City says asking for a last name is definitely a sign of trust, since with it, your date can scour the internet for information about the real you. The Wall Street Journal reports some apps, like The League, will allow you to hide information about yourself for a price, and it sounds like potential mates are okay with that. Brendan Crick of Philadelphia says, the less I know, the better. KGMI dependable forecast showers and breezy south winds end late afternoon today. Steady temperatures dropping a bit throughout the afternoon. Rains back overnight with a low of 43. Steady rain tomorrow, Monday and Tuesday, with tomorrow's high 49 and cooler highs on Monday and Tuesday, and getting colder as we go throughout the work week. It's 46 now in Bellingham. Mike Davis, KGMI News.
From ABC Sports, I'm Joey Weiler. The hints just keep coming from Michigan State, resulting from the wrongdoing of convicted sex abuse sports doctor Larry Nassar. After the resignation of MSU Athletic Director Mark Hollis, ESPN's Outside the Lines reporting the school's athletic department has a history of ignoring sexual assault allegations and other infractions, including involving its football and basketball programs. Those claims denied by both Spartan basketball coach Tom Izzo and football coach Mark D'Antonio. Here's Izzo after number 6 Michigan State's win last night over Wisconsin.
I'm going to worry about my team. I'm going to worry about the survivors, and I'm going to worry about what I do, and I have no plans on doing that.
And D'Antonio reacting.
Any accusations of my handling of any complaints of sexual assault individually are completely false.
And USA Gymnastics now says its whole board of directors has resigned. This is ABC Sports.
Have you ever thought about saying goodbye to your job? Just walking into your boss and saying, I quit. And how would you like to commute to work without ever leaving your home? Well, not long ago, a 39-year-old entrepreneur from a billionaire family spent $20 million in 3 years to find the best home-based business in North America. He researched 70 different companies, and when he found the only one that had real long-term potential, he bought it. And right now, he's looking for people to help him turn this company into his next billion-dollar success story. So if you're serious about making money from home without having to leave your home, well, grab a pen. Because I'm about to give you the address of a website where you can learn all about this unique and rare opportunity. Write this down, www.gohernext.com. Now get on your computer and go to this site now. Part-time or full-time, your income is based totally on your performance. Interested? Gohernext.com and say goodbye to your boss tomorrow. Gohernext.com.
A short time ago, Grizzlies general manager Chris Wallace announcing guard Mike Conley needs season-ending surgery for his lingering foot injury. The Pelicans now facing life without the 25 points, 13 rebounds, and 5 assists they were getting nightly from DeMarcus Cousins. And last night's loss to the Rockets, the New Orleans big man tearing his Achilles, now reportedly done for the season. What a huge blow for Coach Alvin Gentry's team.
Tough. He's, you know, one of your key players, and it's always, you know, really tough, but you know, we just got to keep pushing on. I mean, obviously, he was an integral part of everything that we did.
To college hoops, they're in overtime at North Carolina, and the Tar Heels trail NC State 89-88. Late second, South Carolina 61-57 lead over Texas Tech. Florida has beaten Baylor 81-60, and number 24 Rhode Island with a 61-58 comeback over Duquesne. Rams now 17-3, and they are perfect in the A-10. Elsewhere, Caroline Wozniacki beating top seed Simona Halep for her first major title, winning a three-setter at the Australian Open, and then the number 2 seed apologizing.
I also want to congratulate Simona. I know that today is a tough day. I'm sorry that I had to win today, but I'm sure we'll have many matches in the future. And it was an incredible match, incredible fight. And again, I'm sorry.
Classy reaction. Joey Wallace, ABC Sports.
Get news updates, hear your favorite talk shows, and listen live all day without turning a dial. Go to KGMI.com and hit Listen Live.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up.
Welcome back to Wealth Wake Up Live, Saturday morning here on KGMI. You know, listening to the sports, I was talking to Mike, the producer here, a little bit about they're having a service down in California today for Tyler Helinski, who was the quarterback at Washington State that committed suicide over a week ago. And kind of interestingly, they chartered a plane from WSU, taking the whole team and the coaching staff down to that service. But really a good thing to think about is that Luke Falk, who's, of course, been the record-setting quarterback the last 3-4 years for WSU, was back in Mobile, Alabama, supposed to play in the Senior Bowl today, and he decided that it was more important for him to not be out there throwing footballs today in front of pro scouts and what have you, but to go back to California for that service. So I thought really a good sign of the type of people, some of the kids that you raise these days and some of the kids that you have in athletics, and there's a lot of good there to it. So sometimes you hear different stories, but I can't help but pass that one up being a good WSU alum. So anyway, okay, let's talk a little bit about healthcare costs and retirement. It's a big item. It's, you know, for employees, you know, couples, projected right now it's going to cost somewhere around over almost $400,000 for a couple in retirement. The inflation for healthcare costs are projected to rise at twice the rate of Social Security COLAs, putting retirement security for many in jeopardy. There's concern about people not living their retirement savings. The critical employees, it's critical employees address this issue, that there's things that they can be doing in order to save money and try to get ahead of the curve. But right now, the projected total health care cost for a healthy 65-year-old couple retiring this year is $404,000. That's the amount that you're going to pay in today's dollar. That includes your Medicare Part B and D, supplemental insurance, dental insurance, deductibles, co-pays, hearing, vision, and any dental cost sharing that you may have. Healthcare cost inflation is expected to increase at twice the rate of Social Security COLAs. We're looking at a 5.47% average healthcare cost inflation in retirement versus about a 2.6% Social Security COLA rate. The price of healthcare, of course, is a big concern for employees. Two out of three retirement concerns named by employees are health-related. All employees place health care costs, 27% is the top three concern, behind running out of money, which is 42%, and health issues, which are 33%. Most employees, 64%, believe that health care costs will impact their retirement. This includes 57% of baby boomers, 69% of Generation X, and 65% of millennial employees. And to retire, delaying retirement to a later date is one such impact. Overall, 43% of employees plan to retire later than previously planned, including 53% of baby boomers, 42% of Generation X, and 36% of millennials. And 31% of baby boomers delay retirement to keep their health coverage. However, the chief cause that this group names for retirement delay is the need to save more money, 47% of them. Many pre-retirees feel that they're unprepared for health care's financial impact. Over 40% of baby boomers retiring in the next 5 years are not confident that they'll be able to cover medical expenses. And many, 42%, also admit that they don't know how much they're going to need for overall retirement. So retirement confidence is low. Only about half are confident that they will be able to retire when they want. And employees, there's a couple of options or a couple of solutions for part of this. One are health savings accounts. These are supplemental retirement savings accounts. They are usually set up for employees with high deductible health care plan. They're eligible to use a health savings account to save for current out-of-pocket medical expenses. With attractive tax benefits, accounts balances that can be carried over from year to year, move from employees from job to job. The leftover money can remain in the account to grow and accumulate over time. HSA savings can nicely complement employees' 401k plan savings. HSA savings can be applied towards the future cost of Medicare, Part A, B, and D, co-pays, prescriptions, and other health care needs. So the interesting thing is while some employees can say want to save or save more for the future, but current expenses and debt hold them back, many also need help understanding the employer benefits that they and how best to use them. For example, just half of employees with HSA access are contributing to one, and many are not using it as an opportunity to bank additional savings for future medical costs. Employers may also find financial wellness programs benefit their businesses. Workers feel more loyal to companies that care about their financial well-being, and reduced financial stress can lead to greater productivity. So basically, if you've got an HSA available for you through your employer, it's a plan that we think employees need to be taking advantage of rather than not taking advantage of them. It's a great way to put away money on a pre-tax basis. It grows tax-free. It comes out tax-free to use that for paying for those expenses that you've got that you're going to accumulate. So if you're working for an employer where you have an HSA available, it's something for you to really take advantage of and want to try to put money away and put away as much as you possibly can. In some cases, we think that the benefit from an HSA may be even better than that of putting away money in a 401k or what have you. So definitely a plan for you to be working at and putting money away if you possibly can. And so let's talk about this. The top concerns, a couple things that we're seeing. The number of millennials, for example, who've got $100,000 or more in savings, more than doubled since 2015, according to a new study by the Bank of America. The study, 2018 Better Money Habits Millennial Report, found that 16% say that they have $100,000 or more in savings, up from 8% in 2015. Nearly half, 47%, have $15,000 socked away, up from 33% in 2015. And despite the hike in the number of millennial savings, 35% list not saving enough as their top financial stressor. About a quarter, 26%, say that they work in the gig economy, with no access to an employer-sponsored retirement account like a 401k. These GIG workers have to be more intentional with their savings. The surveys are encouraging. However, millennials are taking much more proactive steps around saving, and this is an issue that basically, we have to continue to monitor. So we think it's something that's a growing area. It's kind of interesting to see what the concerns are, but it's also encouraging to see that those millennials who sometimes people look at them and think, hey, they're not very well squared away. They actually are pretty well squared away in a lot of them. They're actually trying to look out for their future. So anyway, that's really encouraging for the future of this country. So Dick Donahue with you with Wealth Wake Up Live here at KGMI this Saturday morning. We're going to be back here shortly. Thank you for listening.
Cute dress. Is that new?
No, I've had it for a while.
New haircut?
Nope.
Well, something's different about you.
Well, I did join a gym. A club, actually. Bellingham Athletic Club.
That's great. But I know your track record.
Yeah, but this time it's different. They make my workout work for me. They've got everything. Swimming, Pilates, a great selection of cardio equipment, and high-intensity classes. I work with a trainer twice a week, and she's always mixing things up for me.
Wow. Maybe I should join.
You should. Right now, there's no joining fee and no contract. What do you have to lose except a couple of inches?
Hey, maybe you're right. I'll stop by today.
Make your workout work for you by joining Bellingham Athletic Club. They have the variety you need to keep from losing your momentum, and their experienced training staff can help you choose the right class, program, or activity to get and keep you going. And right now, you can join with no joining fee and no contract. Get in now and make your resolution work for you. Bellingham Athletic Club, they'll show you the difference.
Are you looking for an auto shop that offers honest quality service? Hi, I'm Kirk, owner of Angler Automotive. At Angler Automotive, we strive to make sure that all of your automotive service needs are met. Angler Automotive provides the factory recommended services that are required to maintain your vehicle's warranty. Angler Automotive, outstanding quality with honest, reliable service. Check us out online at anglerautomotive.com.
Barron Heating and Air Conditioning believes in being involved in the community and is proud to support local high school athletics. This year, it will award a $1,000 grant at the end of the regular basketball season to one area high school. In each game broadcast during the regular season by the Cascade Radio Group, a player from each team will be chosen as that team's game changer, and each player's school will receive an entry for the $1,000 grant on behalf of its game changer. Barron and the Cascade Radio Group salute all high school athletes and the schools and adults that support them.
Stay connected with KGMI and get the latest breaking news and talk show topics instantly. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at KGMI Radio.
Because there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Okay, welcome back to Wealth Wake Up Live this Saturday morning. Dick Donahue with you on KGMI. Again, we are live, so you always give us a call here if you got questions. 360-676-5464. I guess I don't say that often enough. I have to think about it. But you can give me a call at the office, too. 360-733-1200. Love to talk to you. Love to meet with you. Okay, I'm going to talk about Roth IRAs. Roth IRAs turned 20 years old this year, and since 2004, I've been part of the Ed Slott Master Elite IRA group. I was a charter member of that group. And every month I get the Ed Slott IRA Advisor newsletter celebrating the 20th anniversary of the newsletter this year. And so there's kind of an interesting infographic that was in here. I'm going to kind of go through it and talk a little bit about IRAs and Roth IRAs and the evolution of what we've seen. You know, basically, IRAs go back to 1974, and the traditional IRA, as we know it, was created by the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, or ERISA, in 1974. Then in 1986, we had the Reagan Tax Reform, and the Tax Reform Act of 86 limited the deductibility of traditional IRA contributions for higher-income taxpayers who were active participants in a retirement plan at work. So they put it in, but then they said, if you're making too much money, you can't make deductible contributions. Well, that kind of set off the discussion on the Roth. So originally called an IRA Plus, the idea for the Roth IRA was proposed by Senator Bob Packwood of Oregon and Senator William Roth of Delaware. And the Packwood Roth plan would have allowed individuals to invest up to $2,000 in an account with no immediate tax deduction, but the earnings could later be withdrawn tax-free for retirement. That was proposed in 1989. Then, 8 years later, 1997, the Roth IRA was established by the Taxpayer Relief Act of 1997. It was named for its chief legislative sponsor, Senator William Roth of Delaware. 2000, by then, 46.3 million taxpayers had IRA accounts worth a total of about $2.6 trillion in value, according to the IRS. Only a little more than $77 billion of that amount, however, was held in Roth IRAs. So 3 years after it was established, only about $77 billion was in Roths. Well, 2001, the Economic Growth Tax Relief Reconciliation Act of 2001 increased IRA and Roth IRA contribution limits and indexed them for inflation. It also established a catch-up for contributors' contributions for older workers. In 2005, the Tax Increase Prevention and Reconciliation Act of 2005, or what we call TIPRA, enacted May 17th of 2006, eliminated the income and filing status restrictions for Roth conversions to be effective in 2010. This would allow Roth conversions for all beginning in 2010. Okay, then you had the Pension Protection Act in 2006. It makes Roth 401ks, which became an option within their 401k plans, which were established by the Tax Act in 2005. It made it permanent. So we went from regular 401ks to allowing Roth 401ks. And then 2007, the number of IRA owners has jumped to over 50 million taxpayers with about $2.3 trillion invested. So basically, if you look back at it, you had, according to the IRS, there were 46.3 million taxpayers in 2000. There were somewhere over 50 million by 2007, the number had gone from 2.6 trillion to 3.3 trillion. Then the Pension Protection Act, which allows Roth conversions to be done directly from company plans like 401ks, 403bs, that started in 2008. And then there were big Roth IRA changes in 2010. TIPRA repeal becomes effective $100,000 limit and marital status restrictions are eliminated for Roth conversions. So there were restrictions before where you had to have income under $100,000. Well, they took that away. And the TIPRA allowed taxpayers who converted in 2010 the option to elect to pay tax on the amounts they converted in equal installments in 2011 and 12. So people could make the conversion in 2010, then they had the next 2 years to pay the taxes on the money. By 2016, approximately one-third of all IRA investors have Roth IRAs, with approximately $660 billion now invested in Roths. And in 2018, as part of the new Tax Cut and Jobs Act, Roth IRA conversions can no longer be reversed by recharacterization. So it used to be if you set up a Roth, you could go in, look at your taxes by October 15th, a year later, and if it dropped in value, you'd pay tax on it. For example, if you converted in 2016, well, by October 17, you could have gone in and recharacterized. The new tax law took away the ability to recharacterize any conversion that takes place after 2018. However, if you made a conversion in 2017, you have until October 15th of this year, especially if the market should go down, to go back and recharacterize that IRA, so that Roth IRA, so and go back to a regular IRA. So a little bit there. Let's talk a little bit more about Roth IRAs. As of 2017, you can save up to $5,500 in an IRA. If you're over age 50, you can put away an additional $1,000. If you're older than that, so you're eligible to contribute a total of $6,500 to a Roth IRA. And you, if you put the money in a Roth IRA, you can withdraw the money from it tax-free. And the tax-free withdrawals, IRAs are funded with after-tax money, so there's no upfront tax deduction. But your money is allowed to grow without taxation throughout the life of the account as long as there are no unqualified withdrawals are made. So basically, one of the big advantages you have with a Roth is that tax-free withdrawal. And contribution limits vary based on your income. There are limitations in some cases where people are not able to put money into a Roth. Some cases we use what we call a backdoor Roth where you can put away after-tax money in a regular IRA, and if you don't have other IRAs, you can convert that to a Roth, and we do that quite a bit. So contributions limits can vary by your income. There are income limitations as to who contribute, but they also tend to exclude only about 10% of the population who happens to be well off. So this is a retirement tool geared to lower, middle, and upper middle class Americans. And, of course, the other thing with a Roth is there are no mandatory withdrawals, including required minimum distributions. So if you have a regular IRA at age 70 and a half, the year you turn 70 and a half, you have to start thinking about taking your RMDs or required minimum distributions. Those do not apply to Roth IRAs. So there's no age limits on contributions. That's another thing to keep in mind, is even if you're over 70 and a half, if you have earned income, you can still put money in a Roth IRA. So that's another thing to keep in mind. And there's no penalties on eligible withdrawals before age 59 and a half. Although the purpose of a Roth is to save for retirement, your money can grow only if you leave it in the account. If you withdraw your contributions at any time tax-free and without penalty, and there are some 10% penalty on some ineligible withdrawals, so you have to check that one out. And then there's a third of the investors have Roth IRAs, so 21.9 million households in 2016 had a Roth IRA. And more than 3 out of 10 Roth IRA investors are younger than age 40. So about 30% of all Roth contributors are below the age of 40. And Roth IRAs are most commonly opened with contributions, not rollovers. Roth investors display persistence in their contribution activity, with two-thirds of the people that are putting away money in a Roth IRA are basically contributing the maximum, which would be $5,500 again if you're under age 50 or $6,500 if you're over. Most Roth IRAs consult a financial professional when they're creating a retirement strategy. Consistent Roth investors in all age groups see their account balances increase on average between year-end 2017 and year-end 2017. Few Roth IRA investors take withdrawals. Only about 3% of Roth IRA investors younger than 60 took withdrawals in 2015. Only about 6% of Roth IRA investors age 60 or older took withdrawals. So we're seeing that Roth IRAs are an accumulation vehicle people are using to save money for the future. many cases because they realize it's growing tax-free. It's a great tool for passing money on to the next generation. And so the fact that you can put money in tax-free, not be forced to take the money, you put it away after tax money, but the fact that it grows tax-free, I should say, Roth IRAs have become very, very attractive. Typically, when we're sitting down doing planning with our clients and talking about the use of a Roth, we're seeing that it's money that generally they're putting money in. It's probably the last money that we would look at as far as taking withdrawals out of the accounts because the fact that it is growing tax-free. And so we're seeing an increasing use of Roth IRAs. Are seeing people convert to Roth IRAs, especially if they have a regular IRA and they say, hey, I'm not going to really need that money. Depending on their tax situation, we have to calculate that in, look at their life expectancy and things like that, decide if they're going to have enough time to earn back the taxes that they spent by doing the conversion. But definitely Roth IRAs, 20 years old this year, something to think about. If you've got questions about them, give us a call, 360-733-1200. Don't forget our show tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Thank you for being with us. Have a good week. Thanks for listening.
The opinions voiced in Wealth Wake Up with Dick Donahue are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial, or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities offered through Cetera Advisor Networks, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through CWM, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Cetera Advisor Networks is under separate ownership from any other named entity. Guests of Wealth Wake Up with Dick Donahue are not affiliated with Cetera Advisor Networks, CWM, LLC, or Asset Advisors, LLC.
KGMI Bellingham.
HD2 92.9 KISM.
And 96.5 FM in Bellingham.